Nice. Block Talk Radio is fucking up already. Bear with us 1 second. I'm going to try fixing this. Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. We had a little bit of phone issues. But, hi. We're here.
All right. So where were we?
Did
we even introduce ourselves yet?
I think we said hi.
We said hi.
Yeah.
So, hi. I'm Mike.
I'm Jesse.
And we are your...
I don't know why it's waving.
Huh?
I don't know why it's waving.
Well, maybe they can see you in Blog Talk Radio land.
Maybe they can.
And we are in Blog Talk Radio studios in what was sunny Boston a couple of hours ago, but is now kind of dark Boston.
Yeah, dark Boston.
And welcome to Blurred Radio. Sorry for the 10 minutes of technical difficulties. It appears that we are on top of things right now. Everything's working out. And
if anyone's in the chat rooms, if they hear anything weird, let us know, please.
Other than our voices.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have a guest. We have a guest. Our friend Johnny Ice is here.
Johnny,
welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Y.O. is in the building right now.
No problem. That is the sound of all the people behind us clapping.
Yep. The live studio audience.
That's right. Just like Oprah.
Yeah.
The minions. I love it.
That's right. So how's things going for you today, Jonathan?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. 3-day weekend status over here. Cannot complain. Making my grand debut on Blurred Radio, so here we are, making things happen.
Excellent. Well, we're very happy to have you.
Yes.
If anybody wants to call in, our call-in number is 347. I should put this note thing kind of closer to where you can see it.
I guess.
Because you'd have to, like, lean over to see that. The call-in number is 347-850-1653. Our topic for today is record store stories in honor of Record Store Day.
Yeah.
A little bit later, we will be talking about our own personal record store stories. Because
I can remember.
Jesse and I have both worked at record stores.
Checkered past.
at various times. Yeah. And Jonathan, as a music fan, you have shopped at many record stores in your day.
That's right.
So we're going to have some stories a little bit later. Like I said, the call-in number is 347-850-1653. Before we officially get started, I want to give a shout out. I haven't mentioned this in the past couple of episodes, but our theme song was performed by Halston, based out of Boston. And I want to send a shout out to Carl, one half of Halston, who had a death in his family this week. So our condolences to you and your family, Carl. We're thinking about you. And a couple of other friends also. Sorry to start this off on such a serious note. Friend Matt Bjorky, who has appeared on the show in the past, and my friend Dave, who does the Pop Dose podcast, also both recently suffered losses in their families. So our condolences go out to the three of you. You know, we're very sorry for your losses. So
and the Pete Steele anniversary thing.
Right, that's right.
I'm depressed.
Yeah, Jesse wrote about Peter Steele from Typo Negative, who passed away 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a sad note for us to begin with. But you know what? Blurred Radio is about fun.
Yes.
And we're going to have fun, and we're going to make you forget your troubles and dance and sing and do all sorts of gay stuff.
Yeah.
So, we're going to start by talking about some news happening. Lots of stuff in the news this week.
Yeah, in like the past 2 days.
Yeah, it's been pretty 24 crazy.
24 hours, 48 hours.
Things have been nuts.
Yeah.
Things have been nuts. Today, today's not Tuesday.
No,
we normally do the show on Tuesday, so I just sort of had like a brain fart, and for a second I thought it was actually Tuesday, which would suck, because if today was Tuesday, that would mean that tomorrow is not Friday.
I don't
want
that.
Great. I do.
It's every day is Friday.
Although I'm working Saturday, so I guess the fact that tomorrow's Friday isn't really
isn't really
very helpful.
Tomorrow's technically Sunday for you, really.
Today is Thursday, and tomorrow is kind of like Thursday plus.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Thursday B.
Yeah, okay. I'll go
there. But Jonathan, you have tomorrow off?
Yeah, I took it off. You know, they don't need me tomorrow. I'm just gonna make it happen.
No, we can put it up, which is nice. I'm insanely jealous right now. But this past Tuesday was a new release day.
Pretty big.
And a pretty big new release day. We had the Foo Fighters on Tuesday.
The only thing I care about this week.
You know, it's a good CD.
Yeah.
It's a good city, and people are digging it.
Yep. I personally think it's kind of a return. It's kind of like the ultimate Foo Fighters album. It's, it's got some rocker stuff on it. It's got some of, like, the pop on it. It's kind of
open space as far as that. But, yeah, I mean, it's you know, if you like Foo Fighters, I was having this discussion with my good friend, Knight, and, you know, everybody was...
Shout out to Matt.
And, we were kind of comparing to, you know, there's this documentary that if you don't know about, that they shot while this album was being made called Back and Forth. I guess some premiere in, like, theaters and stuff like that. But right now, if you have VH1 or VH1 Classic doing it right now on TV right now, it's 2.5 hours long. So if you have the time, you know, sit down and watch. What I've seen of it is really good. But
2.5 hours is a really long time.
But, you know, when Foo Fighters started coming out, a lot of people were kind of comparing them to Nirvana. And, Dave Grohl's just like, that's the kind of music I play. But, you know, what we were talking about is like, I would never compare them.
Two different
albums. Ever.
Two completely.
Yeah, and it's just like, Matt was saying, it was like, if anything, they're more in the vein of like Sugar, who's one of my favorites, who's Bob Mould, who is on as a guest on
Wasting Light.
Yes. Hey Rosemary, I think.
Oh, they're the songs. Okay, I was just talking about the name of the album.
No, but yeah, I mean it's definitely like this album's much in the vein of like the alt rock 90s, like Sugar and stuff like that. I mean, if you're going to compare them, I mean that's definitely the way to go. The first time he's played with Chris Novoselic is on this one.
Yes.
The time they played
since
Nirvana broke up.
Right.
The last Nirvana recording.
Right.
I don't know what song he's on. Pat Smear is
back in the band.
Yep. And it's produced by Butch Vig. He's Butch Vig.
Produced Nevermind.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So it's an all around. I would say it's like the ultimate Foo Fighters album.
So Foo Fighters major release this week. We also have a new album by TV on the Radio. TV on the Radio, one of my favorite bands.
What I've heard of is good.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, Black Dudes with Beards, I'm all about that. So, we've got that happening. We've got a new Paul Simon album, which is actually really good.
I've read some good reviews about it.
I heard it on NPR last week. It was pretty good. I don't know if you're a Paul Simon fan or a Simon and Garfunkel fan.
I like Graceland. There was a record that came out of his in 2006. I don't know the name of it. I was working in the record store at the time, and I know I played it a few times. I really like it. Had the blue cover with just his eyes on it. I can't remember the name.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, I like that one. I didn't know he was married to Edie Brickell.
He's married to Edie Brickell.
Which I found out earlier this year, which blew me away.
Yeah, dude, they've been married since, like, the early 90s, I think.
I know.
So, Paul Simon, keeping up with the young ladies.
Yes.
Well, I guess young is relative at this point.
Yeah,
Edie Brickell's got to be in like her 40s. But Paul Simon is like 70.
Yeah.
Something like 70. That. So. Look at that. Well, Johnny, you're from New York. Are you a Simon and Garfunkel fan?
I can't say that I am, but I did give a listen to the Paul Simon album just for you guys. Just for you guys.
Oh,
I gave it an honorary spin in the Ullman ears. And
what,
I didn't mind
did
it. At times, I felt like I was in a cabin in the woods watching the rain hit the windows, but which is, not necessarily a bad thing, but I dug it, but sometimes you want to feel like you're in a cabin, that's cool.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with a cabin in the woods.
Exactly. Whereas with the Foo Fighters, I felt like I really needed to watch Can't Hardly Wait after that album. So, again, not necessarily...
No hate on Can't Hardly Wait. That was a good-ass movie.
Again, not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes you just
Can't Hardly Wait is actually... It's been a long time since I even thought about that movie. That's
one
of my favorite movies of all time.
Ever.
My man Donald Faison is in that movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Turk from Scrubs is in Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
So,
fabulous stuff.
Nice pop culture reference there, Jonathan. You're fitting right in. what else? Yeah, I was about to say, what else came out this week? I mean, that's pretty high-powered stuff right there.
Yeah, it's kind of top-heavy. It was one of those big weeks, and then not a lot else came out, really.
Oh, the name of the Paul Simon record was Surprise. Thank you, Dennis, for... remembering that for us. Dennis is one of several people in the chat room right now. You can follow him on Twitter. His name is Irish Java. And I just caught the joke. I'm a little slow today. But yes, the name of the record is Surprise. An album that I haven't heard, actually. But, got to get back up with my Paul Simon, because
I
was very pleased with this album. So, big names and new releases this week.
I know.
There's a ton of other stuff that came out that we just can't remember right now.
Yeah.
But you can go on the site and look at the new release report that we put out every Tuesday morning and find out what else came out this week.
I'm just waiting for May. There's a lot of stuff coming out in May.
There's a lot of stuff coming out in May.
We can talk about that later.
Yeah. What else is in the news this week? Well, today, I don't know how up you guys are on your stories, but ABC canceled All My Children and One Life to Live today.
What's up with that? Seriously.
I don't know, but I think there are a lot of women in their 40s and 50s who are going to get really fucking upset.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even watch soaps. I mean, technical soaps. I mean, Smallville doesn't count.
Daytime soaps.
Okay, daytime soaps, yeah. Yeah, I don't watch that stuff. And then what was it? Lifestyle programming they're going to replace it with?
Yeah, stuff that's going to become like a cooking show.
Yeah, that's cool, I guess.
Get your Rachel Ray on?
Yeah, she's like, I'm defecting from the Food Network. I guess that's cool. I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, a friend of mine on Facebook was just like, you know, I grew up with, you know, all these soaps on TV. This is a man, by the way. He's just like, you know, now I'm down to like four or something like that. I'm just like, I guess. I mean, is TV dead?
I don't know. It's funny. Like, I'm not. You know, I know very little about... Oh, yes, the Jason Isbell record came out today. There's other stuff that came out today, too. Shit.
On Tuesday, you mean?
Shit, I keep thinking today's Tuesday. Today is not Tuesday, it's Thursday. Just so we're all clear.
In case you're wondering.
Although, if you're not listening to this live,
then
we're really going to be confusing the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, soap operas. So, like, I have never been, like, a soap opera watcher.
I grew up on, like, there was a few when I was a kid, but I mean, I was kind of, like, background.
Like, I remember, like, coming home from school and, you know, General Hospital would be on because, like, my grandmother and, you know, the women in the house would be watching, like, you know, Rick Springfield or whatever on General Hospital. Rick Springfield, Dr. Noah Drake. I actually remember that.
Yeah, and he wrote a song I hate also, but that's...
What song is that? Jesse's Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I just figured, why don't you like Jesse's Girl?
Hate it. I don't know. Hate it.
But you like Uncle Jesse.
I do. Oh, sort of. I like Deuce Hazard Uncle Jesse.
But not Full House Uncle Jesse.
No.
Did you know, Jonathan, this is a good trivia for you to know. You know that I have trivia on Monday night.
Yes.
This question was the last question in the trivia game, and my team actually messed this question up. There was a poll taken, I guess, a few years ago, and the poll question was, who is the most hated family on television?
The Tanners?
And the Tanners won.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
I mean, I can understand if Kimmy Gibbler was part of it.
But she's not really part of the family.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, for the rest of them, like, I mean, I guess Stephanie and the other
I mean, I love Full House.
I did one of them.
Yeah, I mean, they all kind of grew up to be annoying.
Yeah.
And Candace Cameron is like, his pants.
Yeah, but.
And.
Family
though. Yeah, and Stephanie's like a meth head. And then there's the Olsen twins. But
God bless the meth.
Well, you could follow her on Twitter.
Candace Cameron is on Twitter.
Jody
Sweetin. Who plays
Stephanie
on Kimmy Gibbler is on Twitter.
Oh, God.
And John Stamos, Steve Coulier, and Bob Saget are all on Twitter.
Bob Saget.
And I follow, I think, all of them.
That's sad.
I have a soft spot in my heart for
the
Full
Saget
House.
Saget, I can understand. But...
Saget's hilarious.
No, I was just saying that if anybody only saw Bob Saget on Full House, then they're really, you know, they're really missing out on the true disgusting.
Yes, of what Bob Saget is.
Yes, exactly.
And for a bit of reference, first of all, actually, before you get killed when you get home tonight, we got to give a shout out to the ladies in the chat room.
We're not ignoring
you at all.
Sorry.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And, you know, we'll be engaging you guys. But that's my Bob Saget story.
It's like when I ran into Robert Parrish on the street when I was in school.
Well, Robert Parrish is kind of big.
Yeah.
And since you're not a sports fan, I'm actually very surprised at the Robert Parrish.
I know who the people are.
Don't jump down my throat.
I'm just saying. My first...
Jesse just punched me in the face.
Can't prove that. there's my first semester of college, I had... I kept running... like, I was literally rounding the corner on Mass Ave and Newburgh Street, and he was coming around the corner. I was like, it's the chief.
Yes. You can't really miss Robert Parrish. Yeah. I mean, A, he's tall, and B, he has that I smell something face all the time.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, speaking of big feet.
Yeah, do you ever notice that, Jonathan? Like, Robert Parrish and Patrick Ewing, I think, have the two most, like, fucked up, like, who farted faces in
yeah.
the history of the world.
I know my lady will say somebody else, but we're not going to talk about them on the air right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as a NASCAR guy, she has a poo face all the time. But
I never got the poo face. And, you know, like, Robert Parrish also, he always looks, like, angry.
Yes.
But Robert Parrish got busted, like, a few years back for weed. If you're a pothead, you're not supposed to be angry.
No. Obviously, it's not working, whatever.
I actually got that information from the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball, which I talked about in a previous episode, which is, like, 3,000 pages long. But shout-out to Bill Simmons, because that book is pretty fucking awesome. Dale Jr. doesn't have a poo-smelling face.
Yeah, he smells, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, we had the soaps canceled. Who else is in the news?
I figured see Robert Parrish. Look at that.
Good segue. We're talking basketball. First off, we are about to hit NBA playoff season, and today is the first day of the NHL playoffs. Jonathan, are you a hockey fan?
Yep. I keep up with, I had a couple of Rangers season tickets, and I saw the game last night. Very sad.
Now, you got to explain to me what happened, because I enjoy hockey, but I don't really follow the sport. Thank you kindly.
Well, you know, the one
sorry.
Thing that's a little...
Just whoa. Here, sorry.
Well, what's going on?
We're opening beers. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was just watching the Ranger game, and it's what happens with the Rangers. They were lucky to be in it at the end. They scored the first goal, and they just couldn't hang on. And went into overtime, and hockey overtime, that's the one thing that kills it, is they do the full period intermissions and everything. It could last forever.
So, I mean, are the Rangers actually in the playoffs this year? They are in the playoffs, because someone said this is the first year in, like, 10 or 15 years that the Knicks and Rangers are both in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's like 13 or 14 years. The Rangers are in, I think they're like the 8th seed, so they're playing the Capitals. And the Knicks, as we know, will be opening up on Sunday.
Playing the Celtics.
Yep.
Game 1 is on Sunday, baby. That's right.
Oh,
here
we go.
The Celtics are still a team, Jesse.
Cool.
Yes. So while we're talking about basketball, I guess we should talk Kobe for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who have not been following in the news, Kobe Bryant got fined $100,000by the NBA because during a game earlier in the week, he got whistled for a technical foul, and as he walked back to the bench, he mouthed the words, fucking faggot, in reference to the referee who teed him up.
Almost punched his teammate in the face, too, when he sat down. I saw the clip today.
And there's been a bit of an uproar, and a lot of gay rights groups are kind of up in arms about that. Kobe was sort of made to apologize. And I got in a little bit of trouble because I defended Kobe on Twitter.
Really?
Yep. I mean, look.
There's a gay sportscaster they had. I don't know the guy's name, but the article, the thing I was watching, whatever they had, he's like a writer or something like that. And he was just like, look, he came out and said he was sorry.
Right.
It's like, he was, he didn't really mean it. I mean, it's just like, from like what happened, it's like, it didn't seem like he's not that kind of a guy or whatever. It's
right.
Like,
if you are an athlete, like, in the heat of the battle or in the heat of the game, you say things that you don't necessarily mean because you've got the whole adrenaline thing going on.
Yeah.
And, as someone who plays sports, albeit badly. There are times when I'm pissed off and I'll say some shit that wouldn't normally come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's a difference. Like, if Kobe was walking down the street and, a gay guy walked by and, just kind of said something innocuous to him and he goes, you fucking faggot. Right. That's homophobia.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle of a fucking game and you're pissed off at somebody and you just say something to annoy them, you just think of, the vilest thing you could say. That's
Which
not
I'm sure it wasn't like you were thinking of, the most vilest thing we could say. It's just we forget kind of, and you know, we're in PC times and stuff like that. Like,
overly,
you know,
PC.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, just like that was total, like, I'm sure that was par for course.
Right, I mean,
I'm not defending it by any means.
Right,
but.
We live in an age where there's, like, cameras and microphones and everything is, like, everywhere, so it's like you can't even, like, pick your nose without getting, like, criticized for it.
Yeah,
I just think that people are, like, way too sensitive, and also the fact that it's Kobe Bryant, and your wife does not agree with us on this at all. which is totally cool. He did apologize. There was an apology. He is appealing the fine. And he said that standard procedure for the NBA is appealing fines, which I don't necessarily buy. I mean, look. Bottom line here. Jonathan, were you about to say something?
I was just laughing about standard procedure appealing fines. That's a whole nother.
Regina's talking about showing some respect to the refs, and I absolutely understand that. I mean, I kind of think that that's a two-way street. I think a lot of referees in professional sports sort of overstep their bounds and power trip a little bit. Part of the reason that people are getting on Kobe's case is because of the rape charge. Let's kind of break some stuff down. A, the girl was not underage. She was of age.
Man, I wish I remembered the Tosh thing.
B, he wasn't convicted of the crime. None of us really knows the specifics of what happened. And
well,
like,
I could tell you she was about 8 levels below where his wife is, that's for sure. So he's a sad, sad man.
Trying to say he was slumming?
Oh, yeah. He was in the hills of Colorado really hurting for something, I think.
Look,
that's the best that Colorado has to offer.
I've never been to Colorado, so I can really vouch for that. Look, the guy is a dick. I am not denying or trying to cover up the fact that the guy is a major league asshole. But I feel like if it was any other NBA player who would, or most any other athlete who had made that comment, and I can't believe that.
Larry Bird.
Right. I can't believe, like, in the history of sports, no one has ever not called a referee a faggot before.
Yeah.
Like, that just, like.
This is the first time it's ever happened
in the
history of the NBA.
Right. So the issue really isn't even that he did it. It's the fact that he got caught doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it
still doesn't make it right.
Right. In which case, like, yeah, it doesn't make it right, but it means that he's kind of being made an example of. So I don't necessarily agree with that. And, I mean, also, look, yes, he was.
Well, no, and you had a good point, though. I mean, you know, if it was anyone else, like, the camera
would have been on.
Yeah.
Right, right. At any rate.
What about Danny Ainge? Is he an angel?
I don't know. Who cares about Danny Ainge? Danny Ainge fucked up the Celtics.
I don't know why I'm talking about this. I barely know.
He traded Kirk. He fucked the Celtics up. I mean, I think it's just kind of much ado about nothing. You walk into any gay bar, and you're going to hear the word faggot being tossed around 10 times more than you're going to hear it on any NBA court. So, I mean, I think that the people that are kind of raising a fuss about it are being a little hypocritical, or a lot hypocritical. At the end of the day, he said what he said. He apologized for it. Let's just kind of, like, it's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Anything to add there, Johnny Ice?
Oh, I just think it's if we're going into the school of etiquette and using real good words and terms, I think it's just totally out of context. I mean, I've seen the words, I've seen faggot thrown around, but I've never seen it thrown around unless there was, like, a reason for it. Like, that's what I don't understand. It's kind of a poor choice. I mean, curse him out. Call him something better than that. That's just, to me, I'm like, come on, Kobe.
Just be more colorful with your insults.
Yeah, yeah. Call him something dirtier. I mean, whatever.
You know, why are we talking about Jimmy Johnson, who got fined almost the same amount for speeding penalty on Pitt Road last week, huh? Why are we talking about that?
Because nobody watches NASCAR except you.
Bullshit.
And people who don't have teeth.
Anyway. I want my teeth. That's a stereotype. I take offense. Me wearing a boring shirt in the NASCAR.
Johnny, are you a NASCAR fan? I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
No, it's bad enough that I'm a wrestling fan, and that kind of takes me down to that level.
That's what it is.
Oh, good. Thank you, Matt.
Matt is
team anti-NASCAR. Like, I just feel like if I went to a NASCAR rally, I would get lynched.
No, you wouldn't.
Are there other black people at NASCAR rallies?
There are.
Trust me.
I mean, the one in New Hampshire, at least,
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We'll see, I think.
Now, something that I find a little bit more offensive than the than the Kobe Bryant comments, I don't know if you heard Donald Trump.
I have not.
Saying that.
I thought you were going to somebody else to go to
Donald
Trump.
Donald Trump is, I guess, seriously contemplating running for president.
Okay. He can't run against Mitt Romney. It's wrong.
Is he trying to prove that Obama was not born in the U.S.? Is that what's going on here?
Right. And he's one of those birther guys trying to prove that Obama was not born in the U.S. That is correct.
Can we all just get on board that Arnold Schwarzenegger should be running for president? That we should all be, if we could live in a utopia like Demolition Man, you know, everything would be great. That's all I'm saying. We'll get to Bret Easton Ellis, too.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Donald Trump, and I don't have the exact quote on hand, apparently fancies himself a fan of black folks. And he says something like, you know, the blacks have been a fan of me for many years.
Like the blacks from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Maybe he's talking about, like, Jack Black's family?
Maybe.
Shirley Temple Black?
Yeah.
Rebecca Black? Friday. Oh, I'm going to play it for you before you go home.
No.
You are so going to hear Rebecca Black's Friday. If I had to hear it, you're going to have to hear it.
Yeah.
You have Misery Loves Company, buddy.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump's a dick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that's been sort of a known fact for 20 years now, so it's not really news.
But, I mean, I won't get into the NASCAR thing and how he's driving the pace car pretty soon.
Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think it's Talladega this weekend.
Now, see, you can't tell me that NASCAR is not like a hick sport.
Why? Donald Trump's a hick. You know, Mr. New York.
Yeah.
Anyway, offensive comments. See, I'm bringing everything back to NASCAR tonight. It's awesome.
Full circle.
Offensive comments. There was also, do we want to do Murphy or Bret Easton Ellis, or do we want to do Mr. Judd?
Mr. Judd? Did you just call Ashley Judd a dude?
Yeah. I mean, for that comment, she didn't. Yeah.
Matt's quoting Rebecca Black. It's awesome. Wow. Jonathan, just quickly, have you heard Friday by Rebecca Black?
Only in passing, and everything nowadays is just in passing. I think that was plenty. Thank you.
Dude, you have to hear it. It'll blow your mind. It might blow your mind in a good way, and it might blow your mind in a bad way.
Is it going to supplant the donkey dance as the Friday song?
But you know what you have to do? You have to watch. You can't just listen to the song. You have to watch the video.
All right. We'll put that on the agenda.
Watch the video. With like, hey, dude, it's awesome. It's one of those things that's so bad it's good.
Okay.
It's like Britney Spears.
Easy.
So I don't know. Do we want to go after Glee or do we want to go after Ashley Judd?
I don't know.
Good to you. Your choice, Jeff.
Let's go with Glee, because that was today.
Let's go with Glee, because I don't know exactly what the comment was.
Compared to a puddle of HIV. The show.
If Kobe Bryant would have said that, would have at least been entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
He would have gotten fined more than $100,000.
It's also coming from the guy who wrote Rules of Attraction in American Psycho.
The Psycho, right.
So it's just like, you know, American Psycho, when I read it, I would thumb through it or whatever. It's just like, it was the weirdest book. It's like I'd thumb through it or whatever just before I'd even started kind of like, jumping into it, and just like I'd be like, there's this orgy scene going on, and the next he's running around with a chainsaw hacking up some chick. I'm like, what?
Well, obviously he's not wrapped too tight.
No, but anyway, yeah, he called the show pretty much a puddle of HIV,
which is a fairly offensive comment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I understand. Yeah, it was a. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty nasty. I'm like, even me, I was just like, I'm like, it's. The thing I saw was like, compares it to a puddle of dot, 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 and I couldn't see like the rest of it, and I had to click on the link or whatever. And then the story's just like, I'm like, wow, that's kind of nasty.
Now, I will admit that that's a very colorful comment.
Yes.
It's a very offensive comment.
Yes.
But it's very colorful. Like, I think that's kind of what Kobe should have been going for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're going to get fined $100,000, you got to go for the fucking gusto.
Yeah. Or like, motherfucker or something like that. Like, why am I like, it's like...
Well, then you could let him go. Kobe would be able to go on to Oprah and shake hands with Magic Johnson, and this would be a beautiful event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll bring him on Oprah. He'll apologize.
Yeah.
There'll be Magic Johnson and Greg Louganis standing right next to each other, and he'll shake hands with them, and it'll all be washed water under the bridge.
Yeah, but just like, I mean, this one was... I mean, and honestly, like, what's Bret Easton Ellis really doing that much right now? I mean, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's a random person that makes that comment.
Yeah, that's a really random comment. It's just like, and it's nasty the way, I mean, just the way it's kind of like, I'm assuming it's just kind of like everybody's having sex with it and stuff like that, but.
I would not
exactly.
Have sex.
It's Bret Easton Ellis. It's not a really offensive coming from him. It's just like.
Because he's a nut job.
Did you see Rules of Attraction? Did you read the book? Just like,
right.
You know.
But then at the same time, like, if you. you already know that Kobe Bryant's kind of a douchebag, like, why would you be surprised by anything that he
says? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, that argument kind of, like...
However, Ashley Judd, on the other hand...
Yeah, Ashley Judd, that was kind of unexpected.
But, yeah, I mean, but then there's, like, Ashley Judd out of nowhere or whatever, which I forget.
I have the comment pulled up, so you can actually look at that. Ashley Judd, and I almost said Isaiah Thomas because of that Matt comment that just got left there. Ashley Judd just released an autobiography called All That Is Bitter and Sweet.
Which apparently is, like, a depressing...
Right, and she, like, you want crazy pants? Ashley Judd has got crazy pants for your ass. She basically, like, called out her mother and her sister for being neglectful.
Yep.
She made a comment about hip-hop music.
Yep.
She equated it to rape culture.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is kind of that's absolutely a dumb statement to make.
Yeah.
I'm not really even sure, like, how to intelligently argue that point, except for just to say that, you know, she's out of, like, that was just, like, the wrong comment to make. Like, she should have thought about that before she opened her mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that comment, like, in the book, or was it just, like, a comment that she sort of
no,
made?
No, as far as I know, it's in the book. I mean, it's just,
it's an excerpt.
That's even worse. If it's in the book, you thought about that shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is going on for a while. It's like,
Really? Like, you can't, like, you can say, like, you can make a comment in public and then say, it was the heat of the moment, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean it. It just kind of came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But to, like,
this is
write
like,
that
you've
shit.
Been thinking about it for a while, like...
She wrote that shit, proofread it, and published it.
Yeah. Somebody proofread it and published it. Like, that's the worst part.
Right.
It's just like, Ashley, so you don't want to, you know, kiss the girls, really? Really, that's your defense?
Did she actually kiss a girl and kiss the girl?
No, she didn't.
Well, what's the point of the movie, then?
I don't know. Good movie she was in.
I don't think I've ever seen Ashley Judd.
I've definitely seen Ashley Judd movies. I just don't know a movie that I've seen that I liked her in.
Johnny, you ever seen an Ashley Judd movie?
What's the one where she was messing around with the black guy and she pretended that a kid was buried somewhere and they had the witch hunt?
She's messing around with the black dude.
Yeah, she was in the hood. It was called, Wasteland or some shit like that.
No, that's Sandra Bullock.
Oh, right.
No.
I don't know. I think we might have to pull up a little bit of Ashley Judd action on IMDb.
Crap.
Because I don't know any movies that this chick has ever
in. I can bring it back to NASCAR if you wanted, but I don't want to go there.
Isn't she married to a NASCAR
guy?
Yeah,
I know, F1 driver. So.
It seemed different.
Who dabbled in NASCAR. He couldn't cut
it. As a side note, every time I see Wynonna Judd, I was like, oh, didn't that chick lose weight? But I was really thinking of Carney Wilson, so I'm totally off kilter with all these
people. I think she did lose weight at some point.
Don't be dissing the Wynonna. We love that. Nashville star. Much for Cowboy Troy.
However, she gained it back.
She was in Heat. Okay, she was good in Heat. That's it.
She was in Heat. She was in Double Jeopardy.
High Crimes.
I don't know that movie. She was in My Secrets of the Sisterhood. Simon Birch. She was in Star Trek The Next Generation.
What?
Dude, you're a Trekkie. You should know that shit.
No, I'm not a Trekkie. The wife is.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Don't get me wrong. I know her real well, but...
Matt knows that, and Liz is apparently wicked happy with Who Went Home on Idol.
Who Went Home?
Type it out so that we don't announce it on the air.
No, I want to announce it on the air.
Oh, well, then he's going to announce it on the air.
Oh,
wait, Gina. Is that
Gina?
No, or is that the character that she was on Star Trek? We're all confused now.
It's crazy.
She's up with Wesley Crusher, Will Wheaton?
Yeah, apparently. She's in Heat, but she's, you know, really, really... Screw Will Wheaton.
Really? Mrs. Jesse, you like Will Wheaton?
Yes. A long time ago.
Just by the way, I looked up and that was Julianne Moore, not Ashley Judd in Freedomland. All these white bitches look the same.
Julianne Moore, Ashley Judd, same person.
Except Julianne Moore respects the black people.
She respects the hip-hop community.
Yes.
I'm not going to deny that there is some hip-hop...
Well, it's in a Twitter war with
Questlove. Questlove is awesome.
Yeah.
Questlove is like my Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
Like, I aspire to be Questlove.
Yeah.
Except for, like, not fat.
Then you gotta do the fro one.
Yeah, and I can't grow hair, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
I'll get it, but I have an Afro wig.
That's cool.
Actually, I dressed up as Questlove for Halloween last year.
See?
I mean, the Afro wasn't really doing the same thing, but I tried to be Questlove, and then I had to explain to everybody that I was wearing a Questlove costume. But I had, like, drumsticks, and I had an Afro. and I was wearing like a Michael Jackson t-shirt, and I had the Afro pick inside the Afro.
What's wrong with people?
And yeah, people just didn't get it. It was very disheartening.
Well.
I don't know, Ashley Judd. Like, it's very wrong of you to make like a blanket statement saying that hip hop is equated to like rape culture.
Yeah.
You know, granted, there is an amount of misogyny involved in rap music, but there's a bit of that involved in every music.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying like fucking hair metal, you know, is equivalent to like rape culture because there's like, you know, every song in there is about like banging chicks.
Yeah. Girls go, like, girls low.
Right. Yeah, I just don't get that. So Ashley Judd, you know,
think before you write.
Right. If you had a hood pass, it's been revoked.
Yeah, it has.
Right. So whatever. I don't know if we have a clean segue from Ashley Judd.
I don't think so.
We should talk about, I was watching I have been out a lot recently and have not been watching as much TV as I'd like to have, but I saw a promising new show last night called Happy, which came on after Modern Family, which was awesome last night, by the way. If you have Hulu or ABC.com or whatever it is, go back and watch last night's episode of Modern Family because it was great. Matt, you have a hood pass in my heart.
Hood pass, you know, nice.
Yes.
I can't give those, but you know, I would assume
it's
you
in,
have
it's
one.
In my heart.
I grew up in South Central Massachusetts. I did. That's what the phone book says.
That's awesome. South Central Massachusetts.
It says so on my phone book. Just saying. Anyway.
But Happy Endings is sort of like is a new show. They ran two episodes last night. And the first episode was kind of shitty,
mm-hmm.
but the second episode definitely kind of picked up, and it's sort of like a frenzy kind of show.
They did two
episodes last night. I don't know, like, the show isn't really there yet. Like, there's definitely some writing problems,
yeah.
and I don't know if the cast is totally going to gel.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I actually watched the show in the first place
mm-hmm.
is because Eliza Coop, who played Denise on Scrubs
yes.
during the last season and a half,
yep.
or two seasons, is a major character on the show.
Okay.
The character that she plays on the show is very, very different
okay.
from Denise. She's definitely not as, like, aggressive and kind of, like, mm-hmm. alpha girl, sort of. But the show is interesting, and one thing that I really liked about the show, Damon Wayans Jr.
We flipped by last night for 2 seconds, and I was like, there's Damon Wayans Jr.
Yes, it was.
It blows me away that there's a Damon Wayans Jr. out there. Too.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, like, In Living Color is 20
know,
change years old.
I know.
So, it's, you know, Damon Wayans
just
would have
weird.
A kid in his early 20s.
Yeah.
So, Damon Wayans plays a character, actually, he plays Eliza Coop's husband.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that his character is not a stereotypical black guy
mm-hmm.
on a show. And there's also a gay character on the show who is not a stereotypical gay guy. He's
mm-hmm.
kind of like a gay bro.
Okay.
And I just like the fact that, like, as shitty as the writing kind of is,
mm.
like, it's just sort of like a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
Like, you watch TV and kind of, like, everybody sort of subscribes to the same old stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to not have, like, kind of, like, a thuggy kind of character on TV. And it's nice to have, like, a swishy queen kind of, like, character on
yeah.
TV. Because I think characters like that sort of tell the world at large that not all
yeah.
minorities are sort of one-dimensional.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I love Modern Family, but you know, you have like Cameron and you know and
Cameron and Mitch
who are
both
like very, you know.
What's
DBAMTSCWDYJITH? I have no idea.
Matt, you have to explain that.
Yeah,
I mean Mitch and Cameron
yeah,
definitely
yeah,
a little on the
very,
stereotypical
yeah, very,
side.
You know, it's funny, I mean
yeah.
you know, it still works and stuff with mm-hmm. it is, but you know, but yeah, I mean, this, you know, even a show like that is, like, very, very stereotypical
right.
at times and stuff.
Like, watching that show, watching Happy Endings last night, I was like, wow, there are characters in here that I can actually relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll keep watching. Yeah, dude, do you watch Modern Family? Like, that's an awesome show. I think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah, that was actually the only show that I had to record kind of frequently like that, because everything else I just watch is, like, CBS Mondays or Thursdays. So, yeah, I just used it right for Modern Family.
Gotcha. Well, you might want to check out this show. I think you'd like it. Happy Endings. Check it out.
And I used a perfect segue. And I just, no. See, what we should have done was Ashley Judd, who is in Cuffs. And Cuffs was with Christian Slater, who's also in a kick-ass new show.
Is he?
And
I read about
great,
that in,
show.
Like, Entertainment
yeah.
Weekly.
We saw
that he's on a new
yeah,
show.
Yeah, breaking in to change gears for a second, like, which was also on last night. Yeah, break, Checking In, which I kind of got into because it stars Brett Harrison, who is in Reaper, which is like this sci-fi goofy show that ran for like 2 seasons and then got canceled. It was on CW. He was the main character in it. And
with Kevin Bacon, apparently.
Kevin Bacon, no.
No?
What?
I don't know. Kevin Bacon has nothing to break in. So anyway, it's a show with the guy from Reaper. He's like this this aimless kind of slacker guy who's really good hacker, has pretty much like hacked himself into college and is just like taking whatever courses he wants, just like living the lifestyle, like, you know, just kind of lounging about, getting things paid for and stuff like that in college or whatever, and he gets recruited by Christian Slater's character named Oz, who runs a security firm, which is basically people pay them to break into places to test, like, the security systems and stuff like that. So it's got Christian Slater, it's got this Brett Harrison kid. The girl is Odette something or other, who was in, she's on Cloverfield, she's in that. She's, you know, it's a very little, like, not a lot of known, like, a well-known cast or whatever. It's also got Michael Rosenbaum, if you watch Smallville. He was Lex Luthor for the first 7 seasons. He's also been in Sorority Boys. He's like a very kind of small role on it, but I guess it's going to be expanded in more episodes. But we watched the first episode. It's just a great kind of sampling of just like pop culture. It's like comedy. All the interviews I've been reading with those guys have been like, it's like the A-Team, you know, times 100. It's like an action comedy. It's really, really funny. Christian Slater's awesome.
That sounds pretty
good. He's got a Star Trek chair in his office. It's tons of pop culture references. There's like a Star Wars reference in the first one. One guy's the black guy in it is actually, it's a little bit stereotypical, but is in like Han Solo outfit and actually he's not really, because he's like this super nerd in it. It's really funny. They had this the story of how Christian Slater, what was that? Christian Slater has a Star Trek this Captain Kirk chair in his office, which apparently is his actual Captain Kirk chair. William Shatner gave him. But they were hired by William Shatner to stalker that he had at his house, and the stalker happened to be the black guy who works for the company. He's like seen outside of Kirk's house, and it was a Next Generation outfit, which I don't think really, you know, is the same thing as like the original series, but whatever.
You sure you're not a Trekkie?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah.
Weird.
He's in Star Trek VI. Gotcha. It's an uncredited cameo. He just wanted to be in it.
Hey, what network is this show on?
Fox. It's right after Eidolon Wednesday nights.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure it's getting pretty decent ratings if it's right after Monday.
First episode did really well. The second episode was on last night with Alyssa Milano. Mike Tyson, I guess, is going to be on the finale whenever that happens.
Mike Tyson the boxer?
Mike Tyson the boxer. As himself.
Okay.
He's going to be on the finale. I guess they have some other guest stars popping up or whatever, but it's hilarious.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds like an interesting show.
Shows.
Hey.
And speaking of new shows and stuff, I don't know what that is, but, you know, it's...
So we're talking about... I've got to talk really quickly about the Cougar Town. Bill Lawrence, I don't know if you've been following, like, on Facebook and Twitter recently. Bill Lawrence, who was the creator of Cougar Town and also created Scrubs and Spin City, has been undergoing the full court press to try to get people to watch Cougar Town.
Please watch my show so Courtney doesn't have to go back to David Arquette.
That more or less, that's really what's happening. Like, he's been sort of, like, he created a Facebook group for Cougar Town and was like, if this group gets to 10,000 people, then I'll do a web episode with a bunch of the old cast members from Scrubs and blah, 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 blah. So he's kind of leveraging the fact that he did one really, really great show to get people to watch a show that's maybe not so great.
Did you see the Community episode where they talked about Cougar Town?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
We started watching it. I think we watched the first, like, 5 or 6 episodes. And, I mean, it was good for what it was. My lady found out something that she didn't like about the show, and after that, it kind of started piling up on our DVR, and we're just like, we're not watching this anymore.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was good for what it was, but just, like, I don't know. It's really hard to kind of, I don't know, latch on to, I guess. I mean,
I've tried. Really, I've tried several times.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really. I mean, like, I like to act, like the actors. the actors, like, you know, are all good actors and stuff like that. I mean, I
there's something about the show that doesn't gel for me.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure what that.
Yeah,
is.
I liked. I mean, I liked Friends. You know, I will admit that.
See, I didn't. I mean, I've watched in my lifetime like 10 episodes of Friends.
I think I've seen every episode.
Really?
Yeah, probably twice at least. Anyway,
Johnny, you watch Cougar Town? No,
I just saw some of those dirt shows today talking about Howard Stern having Courtney Cox surprising David Arquette. That's about all I got for you on Cougar Town right now.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Yeah, actually, one thing I found kind of interesting, like, I guess they were on Stern, Courtney Cox was basically like, yeah, I divorced David Arquette because, like, every time, like, we'd have problems and stuff, like, I'd be confessing my problems to him and he would, like, want to fuck.
Well, the thing with this week was they did a family vacation because they're still talking, whatever.
Right.
They're on like speaking. They're obviously on speaking terms.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Well,
they're trying to, they're trying to repair the marriage. Like, you know, kudos. But I guess they're on a they did a family vacation at Disney World or whatever, and they were kept trying to fuck Courtney Cox. Like, and then he went on Stern. It was just kind of like He's just like, I tried to fuck her, but she didn't want anything to do with it, blah, 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 blah. And then she was on, I think, Letterman or Leno, like last night or the night before, whatever. She's like, yeah, he was, like, all over me and stuff like that. It's just like, it's, you know, I guess their little relationship's working and stuff like that. It's just like, he's kind of in that horny teenager stage where he's sober and stuff. He's just like, you know,
I mean, you don't stop. That doesn't stop.
No, like,
you turn 20.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. So, I still understand what David Arquette is just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you know?
He definitely has a little bit of a diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It obviously was an alcohol because the guy's been sober for however long now.
Right, so it's kind of weird.
So Cougar Town is, yeah, it's something about the characters or whatever. It's, I don't know.
It doesn't connect with me.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
what it is. You know, and I want to be supportive of that show because, you know, I love Spin City. I love Scrubs.
Yeah.
But Cougar Town just isn't doing it.
Yeah. And if you have to beg that much.
Right. If you have to beg for people to watch
yeah.
the show,
yeah.
chances are there's something about it that people just are not.
I love Human Target. The show is probably going to be canceled. Chuck apparently last week had, like, the lowest ratings ever of his career. Like, you know, these shows are in danger that I'm like, I love. It's like Cougar Town is just like,
and it's actually already gotten picked up for another season.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, chill out,
yeah.
Bill Lawrence.
Yeah.
All right?
Master.
All right. If you want to call in, we've got about a half hour left on the live portion of the show. The number is 347-850-1653. We want to switch gears for a second because Saturday is a special holiday that is important to the hearts of me and you
yes.
and many people in the chat room and Jonathan, and it's Record Store Day.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It is a holiday that celebrates independent record stores.
Yes.
And you're a veteran of a record store.
Yeah.
And I'm a veteran of a record store. And Jonathan is a veteran shopper.
There's some people
online
who are veterans of
right,
record
and there are several people in the chat room who are veterans of record stores. So,
interesting, all veterans, but not there right now.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have any record store day stories or record store stories.
The only thing I can say, I was having this discussion last night about record store day, is, you know, the concept I think is really, really great.
Right.
You know, celebrate independent record stores. That
is true. Liz, we do have to work on Saturday, so it kind of sucks.
I mean, the concept is really, really good. The only problem I have with it is just, like, you get these people who are, like, the crazy collectors, whatever, comes out in droves or whatever.
Right.
Any of my stories for Record Store Day, it's just, like, anything you have is, like, as far as a giveaway or any free stuff or whatever, it's just, like, you know,
Your story doesn't have to be a Record Store Day story. It just be, like,
no,
a general,
no.
right?
The people who are waiting outside for they want, you know, I think not last year, maybe it was last year, there was like a George Harrison set that came out, this vinyl set that came out, and like I just remember like people at the door or whatever, just like the door's open, it's like the stuff that we have, like that's like super, super collectible, is gone in like 2 minutes.
10 seconds, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like, and the free stuff's just like, hey, I got a tote bag, I guess that's kind of cool. That's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any, like, record store day stories. I mean, I just kind of remember going...
God.
I've had the product thrown at me before.
I don't think I've ever had anything thrown at me before.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I've had product thrown at me. Nice. Uh-huh. Stores are even busted for selling stuff
nice.
On eBay.
I've had stuff... Machine Head vinyl? That's what I want. Liz, if you're going out on Saturday morning, Machine Head. Oh, God. Fuck fine classes.
I've had stuff thrown at me.
Yeah.
I've been spit on. More than once.
Sit on.
Really?
No.
I've had my life threatened.
I've had that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for not making change.
Right.
I think. Yeah.
Now, Jonathan, since you have a little bit of a different perspective as a shopper, what is your... Tell me, like, one of your cool, like, record store stories, like, as a shopper.
Well, I could say I've never spit on anybody, but maybe there's nothing enticing enough for me to go to that route. I mean.
Guys, I don't think our show.
You know, unfortunately, there was no real independent record stores around here for the past 30 years. So my local record store was actually a Tower, which at the time, you know, employed knowledgeable music people and actually cared about music and things like that. So
right.
I was just a big fan of the midnight sales, you know. That was the kind of fun thing to do.
I forgot about midnight sales.
Midnight sales, I used to love when I was working I loved them when they were kind of like a rarity, but then it got to a point where I had somebody I worked with who wanted to do them every week. I remember one midnight release we had. It was in 2003. Marilyn Manson's Golden Age of Grotesque came out, and this Cold record came out. I think it was like their third record.
They had a midnight sale for Marilyn Manson.
Well, it got to a point where it's just like we were doing midnight sales like every week and stuff. It's like kind of like a summer thing, so it wasn't really like it's kind of like Tower did. It was kind of compete with Tower, and we had the sale for that or whatever. And like kind of the deal was, you know, we would stay open as late as there were people in the store or whatever.
Okay.
And you know, if not, we'd close at 12:30. Like that was kind of like the general rule or whatever.
Okay.
And that rules anyway. Liz will agree with me. But anyway, it's just like, you know, this is my crazy thing, whatever. It's just like, you know, it was just like you got to the point where it's like it was dead in store. We had like a rush, like maybe like right at 12, like for maybe like 10 minutes, whatever. If you bought some Manson records or whatever, and that was about it. Got to the point where it's like 15 or 20 minutes, like nobody in the store, 12:30, whatever. And what was it? Like, you know, 10, like 12:30 hits, whatever. I'd been at the store all day, whatever. I had other people or whatever waiting to go home or whatever. It's after, you know, closing time and stuff like that.
Right.
And after like tea time and stuff. Like I had a car, so it's like whatever. And like the people I was around with, like we're in walking distance. But it's like, you know, 12:30, there's no one in the store, time leave. And I had this guy where the registers are and stuff like that. It's just like, you know, it's right at the front door or whatever. So we locked the door or whatever. Like, there's nobody else in the store. We had made a sale in, like, 15 or 20 minutes. So we're just like, yeah, we're going to go. And so we start pounding on the door, like, you know, just after 12:30. And it's like, you know, I'm sorry, we're closed, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because, I mean, you can hear through the door or whatever. And I'm just like, you know, yep, closed, pound a few more times, closed. And I turn my back to him because I'm like, registers are right there. It's like, it's not really a secure place to count the money or whatever.
Right.
And I remember the next day I come into work or whatever, and whoever this dude was like a diehard Cold fan and like drove down from Rhode Island. Just like, I wasted gas and I drove all the way down there for the Cold CD, and they, you know, they closed early on me. I'm like, what the
weren't there stores like on the way?
Yeah, I don't know if there are other stores that were open at that point. It's like why do you need that out? Like,
Jesus,
like,
Christ,
yeah, yeah. Boston.
That time of night, you're gonna fucking, you know, you're gonna get the CD, go home and not even listen to it. You're gonna go
to sleep. You're listening to the car, you're gonna be driving or whatever. And that was the thing with that. I was like, are you serious? And I mean, it wasn't anything bad. I mean, you know, there were computer records that showed that like I closed on time and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm like, I can't believe the guy was just like so pissed about it. Like, and I liked the band Cold. And I was just like, really, really, dude?
I don't know. The one story that
I spit on, but go ahead.
Well, okay, I'll tell the one story. For the people who are a little bit more sensitive in the audience, they might want to for the people in the audience who might be a little bit sensitive, this is sort of like not a
that has a story about playing something in the store that's not really very sensitive also, but we can get to that later.
Later?
Go ahead.
Okay.
You go and talk
so,
about that.
I was working in the store. I think it might have been like an assistant manager at this point. And we had an in-store with Busta Rhymes.
Okay.
So, Busta's doing his thing, signing, whatever. It's the middle of summer. Mm-hmm. It's like late August, early September. Hot as fuck outside. We're in the Bronx. The line is like,
sort of like that. Anyway.
150, 200 people deep.
Okay.
I'm inside the store, mm-hmm. but we have our security guys outside, like, working the line. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was the manager while I was the assistant manager was outside, like, working the line, whatever. Somewhere during the proceedings, there was a guy standing behind a girl, and I think I told this story. I don't know if I told the story to you or if I told the story to the girls. South Bronx, yes. Jonathan, you familiar with this store on Fordham Road in the Bronx?
I've heard many stories about the about the Fordham
yes.
Road. Was the Wiz on Fordham Road?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So while they're on the line, this guy pulls out his dick, jerks off on the back of this woman who is wearing like a cut-off top, and shoots a load on her back. Broad daylight, middle of summer.
For Busta
Rhymes. Not
bad.
And Busta Rhymes, he did it on demand. Very nice.
Great.
What?
Exactly. He did a Busta Rhymes on this girl's back.
Wow.
And
hey, if you're excited about Busta Rhymes, I mean, you know, that's you know, it's like, you know, it kind of is excusable. I mean, you know.
And apparently, the girl realized what happened, turned around,
yep.
and beat the living shit out of that guy.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That's awesome.
That is sort of my number one record store story. That is, I think, in 10 years of working record retail,
yeah.
that is the one story that will always stick with me. Other than the fact that when I was working at Tower Records in the mid-90s, there was a particular recording artist who was popular in the 70s but wasn't as popular around this time
yeah.
that we used to, okay, we used to sell porn and rent porn videos in that store.
Oh, I know Tower Records.
Right. And this female singer who was popular in the 70s used to come in and rent, like, X-rated hardcore videos all the time.
Awesome.
Oh, so, it's got to be Gloria Gaynor. I mean, come on.
you're on the right track. It wasn't
Donna Summer. That too.
It was I'll put it to you like this. Let's see if you guys can guess it. It was a singer who was popular in the 70s, and one of her biggest hits was remade and made very popular by a rap group in the 90s. A rap/singing group.
CNC Music Factory.
Nope.
I'll look it up online now.
Yeah, if anybody can guess this, you'll get my undying respect. I won't confirm it on air. It was pretty funny because this person also completely, her image is completely not Matt got it. Matt got it.
Isn't it weird when you catch people you know in the dirty section?
It's true.
I had this story about this substitute teacher from when I was in high school. It was awesome.
Do share.
Not that exciting. I thought it was hilarious to your pervert. We had this store in this video rental place in my hometown, and there's there's like a front door to back door or whatever. It was a big place, and the adult section was right by the back door. Like I was just like, that's kind of dirty in itself.
I heard that. I was going to say something about the backdoor comment.
Anyway, it wasn't really roped off or anything like that. It was just like kind of like, you know, I mean, it was like put away and stuff like that, but it's just like it was really, you know, there was a light on it and stuff. Like you could really see who was shopping. It's like it's not really that discreet, but especially like it's right by the back or whatever.
Okay.
And, Video Dimensions, yes, she knows. But yeah, there's a substitute teacher at the time that my wife may or may not have had a crush on at the time, who was a substitute band teacher and stuff like that. But like, I totally saw him looking at it when I was renting something someday. It was like, and this was like later on and stuff like that, where I was like, I think I was out of high school at that point. I saw this certain person on the way out, and I was like, ugh. Especially if you're a teacher.
I mean, teachers have sex.
I get it, but it's just like. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's weird.
Everybody's got
a small town, it's a small town.
I understand, but everybody's got to take care of their, you know, personal business. Yeah.
It has the uncanny ability to make me hate records.
That is true. That is true.
I remember, like, I was, when I, it's weird, like, some of them are just like, I'll hate so much, but then I eventually buy it because I need to own it because I hear it so much.
Yeah, I think if you're in retail enough times, like, there's a certain like list of albums that eventually you get sick of.
Yeah.
Like I remember, like when I first started in retail, like they used to play like the Pulp Fiction soundtrack all the time.
Yeah.
And like at a certain point, I was just like, I can't listen to this.
I mean, when I started in the biz, I had it was right after at the Drive-In's relationship, Commands had come out, and I had an advance for like a while because I bought it at the records at a huge shop.
Uh-huh.
That was selling promos that they weren't supposed to. Yeah, it's just like, and the stores they were working at or whatever, like, played it all the time. And I just, like, I can't listen. To this day, I don't think I've listened to it all the way through. Well, I may have. I think I took it out of, like, mothballs, like, last year or whatever. But I'm like, it's just, like, every time I hear it, just, like, it would start, I'd get, like, cringy and want to kill somebody. But then, to the same point, you know, there's and a lot of people who knew guys in Cayman where I work with, and Jupiter had just come out. Their first big like departure record or whatever is like a lot more prog and stuff like that than before, and it was just like, but that one is just like I heard so many times, I'm like, and I hate it for a while, but then I'm just like, I get the song stuck in my head and be like, I need to own this record really, really, really bad, and then just like, and now I love it.
Did you ever wish that you worked at a record store?
You know, I was more into the Ticketmaster side of the record store, to be honest.
Okay.
No, I did. I mean, I liked the way it seemed like everybody was real cool at the record stores by me. We did have an indie spot called the Rockin' Rex, which I was a little too young to appreciate at the time, but it was like a real Yonkers rock scene. Yeah, I know. I just created a genre, but Yonkers rock
scene.
There's
a rock scene in Yonkers?
Yeah, well, before the hip-hop scene, there was it's a metal scene.
Yonkers was all DMX and Mary J. Blige.
Yes, Yonkers has a metal scene for the kids that have the anger from hearing all the DMX and Lox all the time. So this is death metal scene.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Yeah, I love DMX.
Yeah, so that's...
I did not know that Yonkers had, like, a rock scene. Matt met his wife at a record store.
I met Matt's wife at a record store.
I have not met any of you at a record store. No. I think I met you at a... No, I don't know if I met you at a record store. I think I met you when I spilled a drink on you at the Mike Doty concert.
Yes,
that was you,
yes,
right?
Yes. Memories. Yeah.
I met Jesse and pissed him off within 5 seconds of meeting him.
No, it takes lots of
I think you might be one of the few people... I think you might be the only person I've ever spilled a drink on.
That's good, I guess, right?
Well, you know... Matt says that he spilled a drink on a blind... What the hell was a blind guy doing at a Marilyn Manson
show? Some dude spilled a drink at me at a Metallica show. I don't know.
I'm usually good at keeping my drink in, like, my glass or my bottle or whatever.
Yeah.
I just, like, tripped or something.
It's a small place, though. I mean, it's understandable, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been,
right,
like, a year and a half, but
fine.
I'm sorry anyway.
It's fine. It's okay. I forgive it.
I'll never spill a drink on you again.
I got spilled somebody from a balcony in Metallica. We went to
Wait, you were on the floor and somebody spilled a drink on you from the balcony?
No, we had seats and stuff like that. We were on the floor, but like it was the garden. And like towards the very end, I mean, I may have been a little bit drunk.
Maybe a little.
And by a little, I mean I was drunk.
Okay.
Metallica
show, your titles.
Metallica show.
Right.
Yeah, somebody from like two, it had to be two, it was like, because they came from far. I just remember getting wet. I'm hoping it was a drink.
Somebody pissed on me.
No.
Oh, God.
There's that Cape Cod cop. Wasted is a lot, like, is a damning word. It really is. I mean, I was a little...
It's okay if you're wasted.
Yeah.
Jonathan, we know wasted, right?
Oh, yeah. It's usually when the memories happen. The rememories.
Yes, we have memories. We have wasted memories. An off-duty cop pissed on a family that night.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Some off-duty, like, I think it was like a Cape Cod cop or something like that or whatever. Just like, yeah, some off-duty cop. Like, it's a huge story. Like, it was a week after or whatever. Like, got, like, you know, fired and all this stuff. Like,
wait, so what happened?
He was off-duty cop. Like, literally, like, it was this Metallica show at the Garden last January of 2010. Yeah. Like, literally, 2010 or 2009. It might have been 2009. Got, like, pissed on, like, had to go, and, like, pissed. This was in one of the lobby areas, too. Like, wasn't even, like, yeah, had to piss, like, to
from like R. Kelly in a cop suit?
No. It was a white guy.
It was R. Kelly and the Tanner family, I think, is what happened.
There's a news article. Oh, fuck, I gotta read this.
I love that my wife is looking this up.
Police officer in Metallica shows you her news.
Wow,
like
2009, that was a long time.
And there's a picture of, like, Robert
Trujillo.
Look
at that photo.
That's a record store.
A drunken off-duty cop has been accused of urinating in the audience at a Metallica concert. According to the Cape Cod Times, Joseph Houston was booed from Metallica's January 18th concert in Boston, Massachusetts for leaving himself among the audience. He was asked to leave the venue, but he re-entered by flashing his badge. He was kicked out for good after allegedly urinating on another concert goer. So this was, like, in the concert. This wasn't, like, in an alley, like, behind the venue or anything like that.
Yeah.
That is... that's ballsy.
Yeah.
Pardon the semi-pun.
And Robert Trujillo, I met at a record store.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was working... One of the cool things working in New York Street, at least, you know, we used to have, like, the most random people come in. And Buckethead came in once when...
Was he wearing a bucket?
No, he wasn't.
So how did you recognize him as Buckethead?
He introduced himself.
He was like, hey, dude, I'm
Buckethead. Guns N' Roses in town or whatever. It's just like,
Was he just like, hey, dude, I'm Buckethead?
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'm playing with Guns N' Roses tomorrow night or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Ozzy was in town or whatever, speaking of Robert Trujillo. Ozzy was in town, they had like an off day or something like that, and this is when Trujillo was in the band, like Mike Borden from Faith No More was in the band.
Great.
And we had literally seen Mike Borden on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Okay.
Me and my wife. 9 seconds. And yeah, we had literally like just saw him or whatever, and like processing some stuff behind the counter or whatever, and I see him like looking at stuff, and I'm like, I know who you are. He's just like, that's funny, I don't know who you are. And he, like, introduced himself to me and stuff like that. My my real good friend at the time...
fried chicken.
And one of my good friends is, like, a huge, huge, huge Faith No More fan or whatever, who I was working with at the time. She's like, can I introduce you to somebody, please? And he's like, why? CDs because they were in between shows, and they were going to play some songs I'd never played before, so we need, like, a certain Ozzy CD or whatever. And then he introduced me to, like... It's like, oh, and these are the other guys in the band. It's like, this is Robert Trujillo. I was like, I know some cell tendencies. I know who this guy is.
Right.
And it's fucking ridiculous. And this keyboard player who'd been playing with Ozzy since like the 80s.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sorry, it's cool.
Very cool. And we're going to wrap up the live portion of the show with that story. So we will see you guys again in 2 weeks. We want to first of all thank Jonathan for participating in the show. Follow Johnny at Johnny Ice, JONNYICE on Twitter. Johnny, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Not a problem. And we want to thank Liz and Regina and Matt for checking in the chat room and hanging out for the whole show. And we will see you guys next time.
2 weeks on a Tuesday.
We will see you guys in 2 weeks, probably on a Tuesday.
Probably on a Tuesday.
All right. Be good. Take care.
Ladies.